Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
This morning on the third hour of Today, search for answers. Recovery efforts in Baltimore after that cargo ship hit the busy Key Bridge. Now, the investigation is underway with construction workers still missing. Plus, the impact on everything from travel to the supply chain will bring you the latest. Then, countdown to Paris, an exclusive look behind the scenes of the massive security operation in the City of Light ahead of the Olympic Games, with less than 4 months to go till opening ceremony. And high-stakes drama. He's the king of playing villains, but we love when Giancarlo Esposito stops by Studio 1A. We're going to catch up with the Breaking Bad actor about his new show, Parish. Then we're going to spring into fashion with an ode to some of our favorite films. How to recreate some iconic looks from When Harry Met Sally to Foxy Brown and more. Today, Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, this is the third hour of Today.
Good morning and welcome to the third hour of Today. We have some fresh flowers for you this morning. Isn't that nice?
They're not fresh.
For spring,
well, new flowers.
They match your oh, there you go.
Pants.
So, you know, is it new or fresh? You know?
It's very new.
But they're not fresh.
It's in honor of what day is it?
Mike.
Yes!
What day is it, Mike? Hump Day!
Yes! So the gang's all here this morning. Thank you for joining us on this hump day morning. We're glad you're with us.
Yes.
All right, so let's begin with the search for answers after that tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore with construction workers still missing.
Overnight, the search for survivors did come to an end this morning. A live look where divers are jumping back in the freezing water with the Coast Guard now calling this a recovery effort.
But this is a disaster that also is expected to have consequences, not just for local folks in the region, but the national supply chain as well.
NBC News senior correspondent Tom Costello was in Baltimore for the immediate aftermath, and he just talked to the NTSB chief for the very latest. So, Tom, what is the latest?
Yeah, I just talked to her a moment ago, Jennifer Homendy, telling me that, in fact, they have now recovered the voyage data recorder. Think of that as like a black box on a plane, only for a ship. And from that, they hope to glean more information about what was happening on the ship just before impact. In other words, speed and propulsion. And did they lose power? If so, why? Navigation. Who was on the bridge of the ship? All of that will be part of that. The NTSB is going back on the ship today as the Coast Guard determines how stable that ship is. They need to determine that before they even attempt to remove pieces of the bridge off the top of the ship and then try to move the ship. They've got to determine how seaworthy that ship is. In the meantime, to your point about the impact on the economy and the supply chain, and not just here in Baltimore, but up and down the East Coast and stretching all the way out into the Midwest, it will take weeks to months to reopen this critical port. It could take years to rebuild the bridge.
Here in Baltimore, the massive cleanup effort hasn't even started yet. Local commuters and the nation's critical supply chain must now adjust for what could be an extremely lengthy and costly effort to return to normal.
The path to normalcy will not be easy. It will not be quick. It will not be inexpensive. But we will rebuild together.
The busy port of Baltimore, almost entirely cut off, blocked by a large portion of the fallen Francis Scott Key Bridge after that overnight collision involving a massive cargo ship. The ninth busiest in the nation, Baltimore's port handled more than $80 billion in international cargo last year. Located in the heart of the Mid-Atlantic, Baltimore is the closest East Coast port to the Midwest. And within a day's drive to a third of the entire country's population. It's also the nation's top port in terms of handling farm and construction machinery and cars and light trucks, with nearly 850,000 vehicles passing through last year.
There is no question that this will be a major and protracted impact to supply chains.
The Key Bridge, spanning just a mile and a half of the 51-mile-plus Baltimore Beltway, still a vital local artery, carrying more than 11 million vehicles last year.
Drivers in this area are going to feel the impact pretty quickly here.
That includes nearly 4,900 truck drivers every day. Many of them use the bridge because of size and restrictions, barring hazardous materials from going through the city's two main express tunnels.
There's going to be significant disruptions to trucking on the East Coast.
Still, experts say it's unlikely we will see a massive supply chain backup like the one the country experienced during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's interesting. Apparently, according to many experts, we've now got a much more stable and resilient and redundant supply chain than we did during the pandemic when we had the massive backups, especially off the West Coast. We do, however, have ships right now stuck in the port. They can't get out. Ships stuck out at sea. They can't get in. This is going to take a while. Lastly, I would tell you, I asked the NTSB chief. I've covered the NTSB for a long time. I've been involved in many investigations. And I said, how long will this one take? Because of how complex it is, she thinks probably up to 2 years before they have an absolute final report on not just what happened, but why. And that's going to be critical. That ship, you guys, think about this. That ship hit that pylon, that support structure, with 2 million pounds of thrust. I mean, just an unbelievable force. And physics 101 tells you the pylon didn't stand a chance.
That is scary.
Huh. Tom, thank you. And someone made the point earlier that, you know, if this is something tragic as it is, if this is something that happened 5 hours later at the beginning of Russia, exponentially worse.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right, well, taking a turn now to Paris with the countdown to the Olympics less than 4 months away. And of course, safety is always the top priority at a global event. The city now in the midst of an all-out security effort to prepare for the huge crowds that are coming. And of course, to protect the world's greatest athletes. NBC's chief international correspondent Keir Simmons is just back from Paris. You got
it. And here in studio.
This is a studio.
Didn't someone once sing something about Paris in the springtime?
Yes.
Well, never mind that. How about Paris in the summertime? Okay. It's impossible to exaggerate what an extraordinary security operation this is going to be with a million background checks. And that's because the Olympics are going to be part of Paris. Perhaps the best way to explain it is to show you from the air.
When the spectacular Olympic opening ceremony gets underway on the Seine this summer, this may be the best seat in Paris. NBC News was given exclusive access into the operation to keep athletes and spectators safe, including from the air.
The Chateau de Versailles.
It's a bird's eye view of an unprecedented Open Olympics in the heart of this beloved city.
So we're over the River Seine right now.
You will have the Tour Eiffel on your left.
Under the Eiffel Tower, there'll be beach volleyball as world-famous landmarks become sports venues like fencing and taekwondo at the Grand Palais and archery at the Esplanade des Invalides. The heart of Paris hosting so many Olympic events, officials say the security operation will itself make history.
There will be 45,000 security personnel across Paris.
The helicopter unit of the military police, the National Gendarmerie, say they are able to reach anywhere in Paris, anytime.
We can take off in 5 minutes, 24 hours, and we're able to offer 2 to 3 helicopters whenever it's needed.
Ahead of the opening ceremony, with 10,000 athletes and 300,000 spectators, officials say they'll search and secure every neighboring rooftop. And on one of those rooftops, the Gendarmerie's anti-drone squad tell us they liaise with forces like the NYPD, using a radar gun to neutralize illegal drones.
Voyage!
This week, France raising its security alert level following the Moscow terror attack. But protecting the Paris Olympic Games has been years in the planning.
We will continue to defend the values of our country and to welcome the world.
On the front line too, 4.5-year-old Praxis, the Belgian shepherd trained to both search and attack if there's a threat.
He's a beautiful dog.
So will they maybe get a chance to watch some Olympic sport. We'll be working, he says.
So we're performing a 360 around the village.
Over the Olympic Stadium, the helicopter team promises we won't see them, but they'll have eyes everywhere in the City of Light.
So that people who are coming in Paris can feel safe.
And they are still making some adjustments. They've cut the number of spectators for that opening ceremony by half. It's going to be ticketed now. And President Macron just this week announced 4,000 extra French soldiers to help back up the security for the games. So they're still just finessing this, if you like. But hey, listen, Al knows more about Paris than I do. I should let him.
I just have a daughter living there.
Right.
But I'm a little teased for our viewers that, you know, because they've been talking, they're going to have swimming in the Seine as part of the, yes, as the Olympics.
Yes.
You have taken a dip in the Seine.
I have swum in the Seine. I'm fine.
Stop
give,
it.
Give people some perspective.
Stop.
I mean,
but
they don't know.
You're going to share that.
I mean,
yes, we have that. We have that report ready.
We
have that report ready. I'm glad that you brought that up. Hopefully, the executive producer is listening. It's ready to go whenever they want to air this.
Is it not normally?
You know, they just said a rep, please.
I mean, I would swim in the Hudson.
Just really quickly, they have. It's more of a contained river, but they have gone through incredible engineering to make this thing clean. That
they really have.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just one of the examples of the way that this is going to be a different games, an extraordinary game.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can't wait. All right. Looking forward to
Keir,
it.
Always great having you.
Thank you, Keir.
Still love your accent.
Yes. He's got an accent? Up next, understanding your metabolism, how it changes as we age, and some science-based tricks so we can give it a boost throughout the day. Then later, I got to go behind the scenes of a New York institution, an historic apothecary called C.O. Bigelow been helping folks with their health for generations. Third hour of today, we'll be right back.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back with today's checklist on everything that you need to know to understand your metabolism. NBC medical contributor Dr. Tara Narula is here to break it all down for us. Dr. Narula,
good
welcome
morning.
Back. Good to
Thank
see you as
you.
Always. I mean, first of all, for folks who aren't familiar with the metabolism, what exactly is it? And how can we tell if ours is too fast or too slow?
Yeah, we talk about this word a lot. So these are basically the chemical process that happens when you intake food and drinks and how you convert that into energy, energy that you use for important bodily functions like breathing, digestion, growing cells, hormones, all the things that we need to happen. And this accounts for about 60 to 70% of the energy we use. It's called our basal metabolic rate.
Okay.
The other 10% is the energy we need to digest foods. And then the remaining amount of our metabolism is really what we do in terms of exercise and movement. You can actually calculate your basal metabolic rate yourself. There are calculators online that you can go on and plug in some information. It'll let you know kind of how many calories you need every day just to stay alive, essentially, and do these essential functions. There are things that can change your basal metabolic rate, like age. So it slows as we age. Men have a higher basal metabolic rate than women. More muscle mass and bigger size can increase your basal metabolic rate as well.
And how do you know if yours is too fast or too slow?
I mean, we all relatively have the same amount. There's genetics component as well. So some people may change a little bit based on their genetics and some of those other factors I mentioned, like age, size, body mass.
My friend Dylan is standing by.
Yes, let's get to food and how we should be properly fueling our body to help our metabolism.
Correct. So the important thing is you have to eat. I think a lot of people think if I restrict calories, but that actually can slow down your metabolism, number one, because your body thinks it's in starvation mode. Mm-hmm. The other thing is you can start to break down muscle, and we know that muscle is actually helpful for metabolism. Mm-hmm. So that's important.
So intermittent fasting isn't...
So interesting, intermittent fasting can be beneficial in terms of changing some of those metabolic parameters. But in general, you do need to get a certain amount of calories in.
Okay.
The other thing is what types of foods. So certainly protein-rich foods, legumes, vegetables, fruits. And then things like water, coffee, and tea can speed up metabolism. And even spicy foods, which I hate, but some people love, can be helpful as well. And there's something called the thermic effect of food. And really what that says is that if you eat protein, it actually takes your body more energy to digest protein.
Oh, okay.
So you're burning more calories than with carbs
by just eating.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, Dr. Narula, let's talk about sleep. How important that is.
So important. So a lot of people think this is a time where nothing's happening, but actually a lot of processes are happening in the body, and you're changing hormones and your metabolism is changing. So we need about 7 to 9 hours. And we do know that ineffective sleep or not enough sleep can actually alter some of these hormone levels. In particular, there have been studies that have shown the hormones ghrelin and leptin that we produce that control how full we feel and how hungry we are can be altered by inefficient amounts of sleep.
And then let's talk about physical activity.
Yeah, so important too. So important to really just get up and move. Any activity you do, whether that's standing, walking, can be helpful, but certainly aerobic exercise. We think about 30 minutes, 5 days a week. Muscle building or strength resistance is so important because, again, muscle is going to burn calories as well. And then some people recommend high intensity interval training or HIIT workouts may be helpful too.
Especially as you age.
Especially as you age. We know past 60, metabolism does seem to slow.
This next one interests me. I didn't realize about 1 in 3 Americans deal with metabolic syndrome. It's a big number. So first off, what is it?
Yeah.
And then what are the most important conditions to watch out for?
So it's really this kind of constellation of 5 things. You need 3 to meet the criteria. And it's basically a large waist circumference, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, low HDL or good cholesterol, and high triglycerides.
And then how does it, what are the symptoms of it?
So you may not have symptoms, which is why you need to know your numbers. We talk about this a lot. Go to your doctor, get some of those things checked. But the bad part about metabolic syndrome is it is associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, and even a new study shows cancer as well.
If 1 in 3 people have it, that means a lot of people watching this morning have it and don't even know.
Correct.
And they're at risk for these things.
That's right.
That's important.
That was great.
Important.
All right.
Learned a lot there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up, Al takes us behind the brand with a pharmacy that's so much more than a drugstore. How one family is bringing the New York institution into the future. Plus, Breaking Bad star Giancarlo Esposito is here with another high stakes drama to tell us about. We can't wait to catch up with him. There he is when the third hour of today continues.
Nice hat.
Welcome back with Behind the Brand. Now, we often find Al behind a kitchen counter, but this morning he takes us behind a pharmacy counter for a look at the recipe for success at C.O. Bigelow.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to pass this place every day going to high school. It's an apothecary that's been a landmark in New York for generations. And there's been one family running the business almost all that time, honoring local history with a look to the future.
It's a place where you go to feel good. We always say we're not in the beauty business or the drug business, we're in the feel-good business.
For Ian Ginsberg and his son Alec, taking care of people is the family business.
Oh, wow.
Hello. Welcome to Bigelow's.
I think from an early age, my understanding of C.O. Bigelow was just that we felt the responsibility to the neighborhood and the people here that dated back to when my great-grandfather took over the store.
Founded in the 1800s, C.O. Bigelow is widely considered to be America's oldest apothecary, a place for remedies and personal care products.
How did C.O. Bigelow start?
C.O. Bigelow began as the Village Apothecary back in 1838. It was founded by a doctor in post-colonial America. It was passed on from employer to employee. A guy named Clarence Otis Bigelow took over in 1880, and my grandfather bought it in 1939 with his brother-in-law, and then the family business was born.
4 generations later, owner Ian and Chief Operating Officer Alec working together, keeping the company moving forward while preserving its history.
What was it like growing up around this history?
You never knew what was going to happen or who was going to walk in. And I would go home, you know, after I saw somebody like Lou Reed and be like, oh, my God, he looked at me. You know, that was just the coolest thing in the world to me at the time.
And you look around this place within the building, There are all these amazing artifacts.
Yeah, I mean, we have a warehouse full of history, books, bottles, photographs, recipe books, prescription books. We've got charge account ledgers from the turn of the century with Mark Twain in them. We've got letters from Eleanor Roosevelt. It's just really cool.
Today, C.O. Bigelow is still a working pharmacy at its core, located in historic Greenwich Village right here in New York City, filling over 500 prescriptions a day. And inside, there's something for everyone.
So I hear tell of a secret second floor.
We have a medical and surgical business where I always say it's everything you never want to have to need. We call it the secret second floor because we don't market it that well, but it's full medical and surgical, everything from diabetic supplies to stockings to wheelchairs to walkers.
But back on the not so secret first floor, the business has expanded beyond prescriptions to include beauty, cosmetics, and self-care. One of their most popular items is their body cream. A recipe passed down from generation to weatherman?
All right, Al, so today you're an honorary pharmacist. Here,
thank you very much. I love this.
All right, so I figured today we could have a little fun making our lemon body cream, which is a product that dates back to 1870. You know, being a pharmacist is just sort of like being a chef in a way. It's like cooking stuff up. We're going to start with a little cream base. With the lemon body cream, it's about 2.5% of each of these lemon oils.
That's very lemony.
After adding some lemon oil and lemon fruit extract, we put in just a tiny bit of carrot oil to get the perfect color.
Yours looks pretty good, Al.
Well, thank you.
You just made yourself a lemon body cream. So you can't just throw that on your shelf without knowing what it is.
Of
course. So I printed out an Al Roker Seal Bigelow label for you.
I am going to bring this to my compatriots back in studio, and you can be as silky smooth as I am.
For Ian and Alec, the pride goes far beyond the product.
Ian, what do you think your father and grandfather would think of where the store is right now?
I think he would be proud of this thing that he discovered it when it was beat up during the Depression, that this thing became kind of a, you know, national-ish name where it's expanded.
As for future expansion, Alec says we just might have to wait and see.
So third generation, fourth generation, is there a fifth generation anywhere?
Not yet.
Not yet. It's brought up a lot, though.
His mom brings it up a lot.
That's all right. We have fun with it for now, and we got plenty of time to figure it out.
But do you?
I think so. I hope so.
Was fun.
They really are. It's a great family. And you can buy C.O. Bigelow products online in hundreds of locations across the globe, USA. Ian tells me their motto of genuine, honest, and trustworthy is at the forefront of everything you do. Some of their famous products.
Lemon lotion you made.
Yeah.
Did you smell
it? Oh, I smelled it.
It's really nice.
You should sell this. You should like it.
They already do.
You should sell it.
Oh, yeah. But then they would be
little infringement. All right.
That's really cool.
There you
go.
Nice.
Check them out.
Thank
you for that.
That's cool.
Coming up, not one, but two Hollywood stars here in Studio 1A, Giancarlo Esposito, here to tell us about Parrish's new drama that was apparently over a decade in the making. And then later, we're going to catch up with a trailblazing actress, Michaela J. Rodriguez. We're going to talk about exploring her comedic chops in Loot with the hilarious Maya Rudolph. We'll do all of that and more when the third hour today comes back.
Giancarlo Esposito is the epitome of raw talent. His character, Gus Fring, sent chills down our spines in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And who can forget him as Moff Gideon in The Mandalorian?
I got to tell you, I personally loved watching him as Leo in the hit Netflix show Kaleidoscope. And now Giancarlo is back with another drama called Parrish. He plays Gray, a family man and luxury car service owner, whose business collapses when his child is murdered. Oh. But after an encounter with an old friend, he gets pulled back into some old bad habits.
What do you want from me, Colin?
I swore that I could make it right with your help.
I'm retired from a life, Carl. You know that. And even if I wasn't, I don't want my own backyard.
It's a simple lift, Gray. It's quiet, in and out, man at the wheel. One of my six, it goes sideways real easy.
Yeah, like it was for the last guy. Look, I'm a family man. I got my own problems. I don't need none of yours.
You said I was family.
Giancarlo,
yeah.
So good to have you back.
Fantastic to be here.
Oh, gosh. So you talk about a passion project. Mm-hmm. This has been about 10 years in the making, and you were involved in everything, including picking New Orleans as this setting. What was it about the city of New Orleans that said, I got to do this here?
It felt like music. It felt magical. It felt like it was a city that had as many churches as it had bars. It felt really eclectic. It was a seaport town where you have many different ethnicities. And it felt to me also that there were ghosts of the past that were lingering and permeating the air in New Orleans. So it had character and substance. And so it felt like a no-brainer to put this in New Orleans.
When you walked in the studio, I kind of did this to you. I bowed to you because you're just so darn good. So talk to me about this role. Your character in this film is a family man, as are you. We just talked off camera. You have four daughters. Talk to me about this role. And I read that it kind of helped you heal in some ways, too.
It certainly did. It was based on the original, which was called The Driver, done in London, three two-hour movies. And when I watched it and the character that was I'm portraying now in the American version, I recognized this man. And I recognized and it brought up some past traumatic feelings about a portion of my life that I was afraid to talk about. And so when I recognized that this man who was broken in pain, had lost a child, but mainly had lost his connection to his family right now. As it turns out in our story, he has a past that he's been hiding. So I recognized the shame. I recognized the inability for this man to stand up and feel like a man who could support his family.
I was going to say, how does it end? But you have to see it.
You do have to see it. Yeah, it was cathartic for me to play this role. Really worked me through a lot of different areas of things that I was holding on to that I was finally able to release.
Now, you kind of have a track record of playing sinister, but you do it so well. What is it about that type of role that keeps you coming back?
You know, for me, it takes me back to Public Enemy when I saw, you know, James Cagney, top of the world, Ma! You know, I mean, this was the moment for me that I went, oh, he's having fun. That can be exciting.
Right.
And so I'm able to bring real life humanity to my villains or to villainous characters and allow myself to have fun with them and for you to be able to still connect to the humanity that's within them.
But there's something about that stare. That stare that you do.
What stare? What stare?
It's so intimidating.
That's it. It's like he's looking into your soul.
Good.
Now he's having a stare out.
Oh, there's a stare down Roker.
So Al's doing good at it. He's doing well.
He plays even well, too. Yeah. Speaking of Al, one of the shows that he and I have been watching, I just stumbled upon it a week or two ago, and I binged the entire series, I kid you not, in 3 days, The Gentleman. On that, it's so well done. And you said, I read somewhere that you said that it was a very different experience for you.
It was. I was working with British actors who are all theater trained. I'm theater trained. So there was a real synchronicity there. But Guy Ritchie is always working on the script and he deepens it all the way up until the time the camera rolls. And so for me to come in and have learned a 2-page monologue and Guy says, come to my trailer, let's talk. We talk for a half hour. And all the while, someone in the other room is typing. And he's changing the script. And he says, you think you can do that? When are we shooting? How long do we have? Oh, 10 minutes? I can put it on boards for you. So let me put it on boards for you? I said, no. I'll walk away. 5 minutes later, I learned the whole new two pages. And it taught me to leave behind what is not working, what I learned yesterday, and come in fresh today. He's an incredible filmmaker, and I really enjoyed this project.
God. Really quickly, you've teased that there could be a prequel for Better Call Saul, with Gus Fring coming back. Who would play you said it would need, they need a younger actor. Have you thought about who would be a
me.
You.
Only me.
Oh.
Prosthetics, it's me.
The whole thing.
Yeah, who else could play Gus Fring?
You.
You're Gus Fring.
Look, I have a real childlike quality about me.
An evil child, but a child.
Thank you so much for coming in. I know, he's got graphic novels to talk about. You have to come back. We'll talk about it.
Would love to come back
and
talk about
that. You wrote a graphic novel?
Yes, working on a graphic novel, Paul. Yes.
All right.
Really excited about it.
Slackers compared to this.
Man.
Come on.
Parrish premieres this Sunday on AMC.
All right. Up next, Michaela J. Rodriguez is back in a new season of the comedy Loot alongside Maya Rudolph. We're going to catch up with her about her starring role when we come right back.
I wish we had more time.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Oh, our next guest is a trailblazer on and off the screen. Michaela J. Rodriguez became the first trans performer to win a Golden Globe for her role as Blanca in the hit series Pose.
Well, now she's turning to comedy in Loot. The series follows a newly divorced billionaire, played by Maya Rudolph, who decides to take a day job at her charitable foundation.
Michaela's character runs the foundation, but also trying to make some room in her life for a little romance.
Well, and as the show returns for its second season, we see it's off to a rocky start. Take a look.
I might have sent him a few texts. He didn't respond. Whatever, it's no big deal. We should probably finish.
Did you just say a few texts?
Yeah, a few texts. Maybe a handful. Potentially several.
Oh, no. No. Give me your phone right now. I have to assess the damage. I'm putting this up on the screen.
No. You probably not.
Oh, dear God, no.
It's green. It's all green. What did you do?
This is Isaac, right? I got your number from Molly. Molly Wells. From work. Are these texts going through? Oh, boy.
I feel physically ill.
Oh, I love it. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Of course. It's good to be back again.
Talk about range. I mean, so many of us just loved your character on Pose. That's what pulled me in to watching it. And now you're working alongside a comedy great with Maya Rudolph. How is it playing opposite Maya and just your role in general? Talk to us about it.
It feels good playing opposite of Maya. I mean, in general, naturally, she's such a good person. And I've never really delved into comedy. So she helps me out a lot on set.
Well, I mean, your character, Sophia, is all business.
Yes, she is.
Maya's character, not so much, but of a free spirit, life of the party.
So true.
In real life, where do you fall on that spectrum?
I fall right in between. I'm definitely a businesswoman, but I'm also goofy and silly and sometimes could be a little bit aloof.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Just a little
bit. You're a bit enough, of a personality right? mullet.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, it also takes another set of chops to appear in something like American Horror Story.
Yes.
I mean, do you like that creepier side of things?
I do. You know, I'm naturally a drama girl, so I like delving into the dark, you know, and also it shows a little bit of range, like you said, in versatility.
Yeah. So Loot and American Horror Story both return on the same night, April 3rd. So, yeah. I mean, how do you manage that? There's so many to choose from.
It's going
to
be a double whammy. People are going to have to tune in for both on April 3rd.
What will you do on April 3rd? Will you do like a screen and a screen? Or
I'm probably going to do a screen and a screen.
I'm
going to watch and then watch on both ends and see, you know, I'm going to see the differentiations between the two.
They're like, look at me, look at me.
Ooh. B squared. I like it. So representation matters.
Yeah.
You know, who we see and how we see people on screen. Mm-hmm. And so what you've been doing and by being there and just being more than there.
Yes.
What do you want people to take away from when they see you?
You know, I've always said I wanted my legacy to be the children and the young ones behind me. My name doesn't fall off their tongues when I go, you know, God forbid, when I'm off this earth. I just want them to know that I made an impact and that I continue to make an impact and that I'm not going to stop.
On that note, so you are a proud alum of Arts High School,
surely
right? In Newark, New Jersey. See how proud you are? Yes, I am. So you left quite the impact there. And there actually are some students who wanted to ask you a question.
No way.
Yes. Would you like to take a look?
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Kayla J.
We are music students from Arts High School in Newark, New Jersey.
And we are so proud by your accomplishments.
And we're wondering what advice you would give to students who want to become performers like you after they graduate.
Y'all really surprised me with that one.
That just gave me chills.
You know, I would tell them to just keep on keeping on. Don't stop. You have to continue. You can't let anyone tell you, you know, nothing is possible.
When you were their age, what was it like for you?
When I was their age, you know, I was a little rambunctious. I never, ever let anyone stop me or deter me, you know, and I was a part of the forensics team. So I had a good teacher. His name was Suleiman. God bless his soul. Oh. You know, he really instilled a lot of confidence in me. Mm.
That's great.
Kayla, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
Hope you'll come back.
Yes.
I definitely
two shows premiere on the same night.
Who can say that?
An album coming out, y'all. So just
an album?
Yes, an album coming out very soon. So people should be on the lookout.
Wait for it. Season 2 of Loot returns next Wednesday, April 3rd on Apple TV Plus. And Maya Rudolph and more of the cast are stopping by later on Hoda and Jenna. So we'll just be talking about the show all day long.
Yay. All right. When we come back, though, we're going to take a little fashion inspiration from some of our favorite movies, like the style icons of Clueless. We're going to tell you how you can recreate some of those looks right at home. Third Hour of Today, right back after this.
Hot Woman.
Welcome back. We are springing into style this Women's History Month, and to celebrate, we are recreating some iconic looks from our favorite female film characters of all time. So here to help is fashion expert Katie Sands. Katie, good morning.
Welcome back.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me back. I love being here.
We love when you do this segment. You've kind of gotten an Elle Woods thing going on this morning.
Of course I had to dress in theme of the segment, so I did my all pink for Elle Woods. She's one of my favorite females in film, but we have so many we're going to get to today.
Okay, we're starting off with everyone's favorite rom-com, When Harry Met Sally.
It is such a good one. I was going to have you guess what they were, but I think we're going to go.
Okay.
No. So the first one is Sally Albright. So we have our model Steph coming out. Ooh. We love this look. It's very menswear inspired, which I think, although the film is 35 years old, can you believe it? Oh. It's still very prevalent today. Of course, she has to have the book. It was the last one at Strand Bookstore that I got for the show. But we love this cable knit sweater. It's from Ann Taylor Loft. Everything you're going to see today is under $100, of course. So you can recreate these contemporary looks in the comfort of your own home. I love this piece because the cable knit sweater actually shows up twice in the movie, and that's very rare for costume design, so it's really important.
All right, next up, 70s girl power icon. We're talking about Foxy Brown here.
Hala is Foxy Brown. She's going to karate chop her way onto the scene in the 70s, and we love these looks because they're super exaggerated. They came from the second wave of the feminist movement. Yes, Hala, like you're that. Always rocking like it. This. Looking incredible. The jeans are billowing bell bottoms. We have exaggerated collar at the top, and this is how you can recreate the Foxy Brown look in the comfort of your own home again.
What are those jeans? I love
those. Those are fun.
Those are Gap.
Those are from the Gap?
Yep.
Wow.
Those are currently out right now. You can shop them. You can rock them on today's show.
Okay.
All right. Let's channel the Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, this one is so good. You guys, Miranda Priestly, we have our model Janet coming out to channel Miranda. Actually, Patricia Field is one of my absolute favorite costume designers, and she received a nomination for this. Running out to give Miranda her exact coffee order, of course.
I love it.
So Janet here has one of my favorite looks that we copied directly from the show. You can see it right in the background of her modeling, but it's so much fun, and I love how she really made this. Beyond the original inspiration, which of course was Anna Wintour, she made Miranda Priestly her own.
Yes, she did. You know what? I also like the bracelet party that you have going on. I don't know if that's part of it, but I love all those bracelets.
Those are some Jennifer Miller, which I know is a big fan
that's
of the show as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Very nice. Look, I like that.
Thank you, Janet.
Let's move on to a dynamic duo, shall we?
Yes,
I had to put on some little last week. I should have worn it this week.
You did.
From Clueless, Sharon Dion.
Sharon Dion.
90s fashion.
Yes. Now, these are our 90s schoolgirls. We have my sister, Gracie, and our model, Shirley. Coming out is Sharon Dion. They are that 90s dynamic duo. The costumes in Clueless are bold, they're aspirational, they're highly feminine, and they're very meticulously planned. And it might be a hot take, but I do believe that the costume design in Clueless is the biggest character in the show.
Yeah.
It drives the plot throughout the entire movie, and I think it's so much fun. So this is how, again, you can get the look in real life.
It's cute.
Let's end with another legendary pair.
Let's go
with Thelma and Louise.
Yes, this one was so much fun to create because there were so many costumes we could have chose from, but we did their last scene in the show when they're driving their Thunderbird across the Grand Canyon.
Oh, that's cool.
And it shows how you can take this look into your own hands. Women should take charge, and this is what we saw when we saw Thelma and Louise in this last scene. So we have Dana and Hannah here rocking our looks. And you can also, these are all looks you can buy today. We have our Levi's jeans, we have our Abercrombie jeans.
The jeans are cute.
All mom high-waisted jeans that you can wear a ripped up shirt from your closet and you have the whole look down.
All right. Katie, congratulations. You're a duo, right?
I'm currently a duo. I'm expecting.
There we go. Some exciting news.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm so excited. This is my first. I can't believe I can announce it here on the Today Show. You're the first to know.
Is everybody watching?
It's okay though, right?
Oh, it's so fun. We just showed America.
That's a little obvious, you know. Oh.
Honestly, when you're sitting,
you can't tell as much. But when I'm walking around, you can.
Thank you. Right, you write that.
That was awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Surprise.
What's the...
So this is fun. I missed this, but last week we launched the first ever Shop Today bracket filled with our top 16 products for spring. So you voted on your favorites, and now we are revealing your top 8 right here. There you go. Just head to today.com/shop to vote on this round, and then we'll reveal the finalists on April 4th.
All right. Tomorrow on the third hour of Today, basketball legend Sue Bird will be live.
Have a wonderful day, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.